Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Wednesday afternoon, really Wednesday evening. It's still light outside. Let's call it afternoon. Welcome in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. I am with you until 8 o'clock this evening. We've got a full two-hour program. We're just going to continue the Cardinals conversation that we had going on during the Redbird rush hour and roll that right into a Sports Open Line today. As always, if you want to join the program, multiple ways to get connected with us. You can call, you can text, you can tweet, you can leave a voice message, and you can leave a comment. So let's go through all of that. I know you know most of this information because I tell you every single day, and I trust that you are a loyal listener to this program, so you know exactly what I'm about to say. But if you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. I can't tell you how often I hear from people who tell me, you don't give the phone number out enough. I was listening to you, and I really wanted to text in something, and you didn't give out the phone number, and I was unable to do so. So this is my handy-dandy tip to you. Throw it in your phone, 314-436-7900, and then when I say something that you completely disagree with and you want to yell at me, but you don't want to actually call and yell at me, you just want to type with all caps in your text, you can do that. And it comes right in. So save that in your phone, 314-436-7900. You know what's funny? I can't tell you how often we get text messages that are not meant for us. Like, honey, I'm at the grocery store to pick up eggs. Do you need anything else? You know, thank you for providing eggs to KMOX because we know the price of eggs these days. But like those type of text messages come into the text line quite often. Sometimes I want to text back and with like a snarky response, but generally I don't. You never really know who you're texting back. I've told the story many times. Like occasionally somebody will be like really angry at me on the text line and say some really, really mean stuff to me. And if you're texting in, your phone number shows up. I have been known to, the show gets over, I'll go back to the old KMOX sports office and I'll pick up the phone and I'll call somebody, not for radio, just talk to them one-on-one, because if somebody's that angry at me, we gotta figure out what's going on. We don't need that. I don't want to bring that kind of anger to the world. So I'll try to call. And sometimes I have really good conversations and people appreciate it, but like I've made some people angry. Like they've picked up and like They have not been happy by the fact that I decided to call them up. So I haven't done that quite as often lately because I've had some negative interactions with people on that, which just isn't really worth it. But anyways, that's how you get in contact with us. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. If you don't follow me on Twitter, you can follow me there too, but you don't have to follow me to tweet at me. The voicemail option on the Odyssey app, you're listening on the Odyssey app, you just click the little microphone button, boom. You leave a voice message and it comes right to the studio. And then Kyle looks at me and says, Matt, we've got a voice message. And we go from there. Or you can, if you are watching us on the stream, as the stream numbers are continuing to grow right now, just leave a comment and we will get to those. I always tell you on days of Cardinals Day games when we do the extra inning show and it's like 5 minutes long, we save the opportunity to call and text and do those sort of things for Sports Open Line. So I always try to, like, take a chunk out of the show where I can just hand to you. Like, you know, for night games when we do the extra inning show, it's nothing but calls and text and all that sort of stuff. We try to get, you know, kind of back into our normal programming a little bit quicker on weekday day games. So we don't do that as much. So I try to have a good chunk of time for you to talk through things. And after today's Cardinals game, we got some things to talk about. That was, and I hope you were listening to Redbird Rush Hour for the last hour or so, because there are very few games that have as many like major talking points as that game had today. The decision to send Siani from third, which was a really bad decision, and that might have cost the Cardinals the game. Now, I always kind of put an asterisk on that because they scored one run. They scored one run in 13 innings. They went 11 innings of baseball without scoring a single run. So if I'm going to sit here and say, you know what, that decision might have cost them the game, yes, that is factually true. But in many ways, did they really deserve to win the game when you don't score a run through the first 11 innings? So, you know, both those things can be true. But it was a terrible send. It was just that was a really bad decision to send Michael Siani. And that's, to me, you're going past being aggressive, and that borders on reckless. If you get thrown out of home being aggressive, it's a bang-bang play, and you know, there's balls out in right field, and the right fielder doesn't have a very good arm, and the runner knows it, and the third base coach knows it, so you're going to send him because 80% of the time he's going to be safe, and it falls under the 20% of the time where he's out, you're not going to hear boo from me. I'm fine with it. Go make mistakes being aggressive. Today was not being aggressive. That was not an aggressive send. That was just a bad send. So that's the first one. I think what Kevin and I talked about during Redbird Rush Hour, I think it's really intriguing, the bullpen decisions that are made with Helsley not coming back out for a second inning of work versus bringing Steven Matz in, working on back-to-back days for the first time in his career. That's a trade-off on which risk you want to go down, the back-to-back days or the back-to-back innings, the up and down. So that was interesting today. The Thomas Sejesi play and whether or not that should have been obstruction, where he had to tiptoe around a couple guys who were laying down in the middle of the line between third and home. That's a very compelling part of all this. Eric Fetty coming out of the game with a no-hitter, although I would argue actually the no-hitter part of it is the least intriguing part to me. I know there's going to be like the baseball purist out there. They go, you can't take a guy out of a no-hitter. That's not baseball today. Dude was at 88 pitches through six innings. He was never going to complete all nine innings. It just wasn't going to happen. It would be reckless to have him do that. But from a baseball standpoint, from what's been going on with the bullpen lately, the overuse of the bullpen, starting pitchers not going deep in games. Fetty was pitching well, hadn't given up a run, hadn't given up a hit, had walked a few guys. I wouldn't say he was overly sharp, but he hadn't given up a run, so he was very effective to lift him after 88 pitches. And I think when you go back in time and look at that decision where you ran through like all your effective relievers in Maton, Leahy, Fernandez, Romero, Helsley, and Matz, and then you were kind of stuck using Roycroft in the 13th inning, and that's where you lose. Well, if Fetty gives you one more inning and all those other guys are pushed back, then maybe it's a different game. where Helsley was used, I thought was interesting. Yeah, to me, more often than not in that type of situation, we've seen Oliver Marmol use Helsley in the ninth inning. You kind of turn your bullpen around. I've always been somebody that's okay with your closer coming in the 10th inning because strikeouts are so valuable with the automatic runner on at second. So if you feel really good about the guy you can pitch in the ninth inning to at least get you to the 10th, well, then you got a high strikeout guy coming in the 10th. I like that. But the fact that they went to Romero even before they went to Helsley, even Fernandez before that, I think those are interesting decisions that were made. So it was a game filled with interesting decisions and so many things that you're able to talk about. We will take a break, and when we return, our good friend Bernie Miklas is going to join us as we'll get his thoughts on some of these things. That's coming up in just a moment or so as we roll on with the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. I've got you till 8 o'clock. Then Jen Cease is going to be in from 8 to 9 with City Spotlight. So make sure to be tuned in for that. Right now, we're very happy to welcome in our good friend Bernie Miklas. His conversation is always being brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. Bernie, great to talk to you as always. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. It seems like you and I haven't done any talking together for a little bit too long, so it's good to be with you again.
Yeah, we used to be on like every day with Gas House Gang, but I'm not a cool kid anymore, so I'm on Redbird Rush Hour while you guys are holding it down in the 12 noon hour without me and Kevin.
Absolutely. Well, I just have a hard time every day keeping track of my own schedule. I'm surprised I haven't, like, in effect, blown like 10 assignments already, so... unless I get a link to remind me, I'm kind of like, wait a minute, what day is it?
Well,
where do I go? Who am I working for? You know,
so folks should know that they can find you, your videos and your columns, Sports Hub STL. And then you're also working with the great Katie Wu with the Cardinals Territory program. So you're all over the place and part of the Gas House Gang. And you pop in just about to every other show on KMOX as well. So we're glad to have you. I thought, Bernie, today's game was interesting because there's like so many inflection points. There's the Sejacy play, which could have been obstruction. There's Ciani being sent. There's Fetty coming out of the game with a no-hitter. There's Helsley not coming back out for a second inning. I mean, this is one of those games where decision after decision after decision has an impact on the game. Did any of those especially strike you as being more notable or something that you especially disagreed with?
Well, Pop Warner's decision to send Ciani was just... I don't want to be too crude. It just makes sense. It was just a really bad decision. You saw how quick Tommy Pham got on that ball, and it's in relatively shallow left field. And Ciani, who's very fast, I know that, but he hadn't even reached third base. At the time Pham actually got to the ball, Ciani wasn't even at third base yet. And so why would you send him? I just thought it was ridiculous. And that was one. And, you know, the Cardinals lost three. This ties into a larger thing. They lost three people on the bases today. You know, Ciani, they lost on that bizarre play. They lost Sejacy. And also Nolan Arenado got caught off guard at third base on a ground ball.
In a really big moment, Bernie. That was a huge moment for Arenado to get tagged out.
So I didn't think it was a like particularly focused team today. It's getaway day. This tends to happen. I thought there was a lot of overreaction to some of Ollie Marmol's moves. Now, listen, I get tired of repeating this, but I don't hesitate to criticize Ollie Marmol, and he knows it. And you know, I don't slink away from that. But I try to be fair. And so every time I try to defend him, of course, that makes me, I'm on somebody's payroll or whatever. So I just get tired of the whole thing.
We get the checks on the 15th to the 30th, right, Bernie? I'm on that same payroll.
Yeah, right. I don't exist to like tie my whole life up in a social media platform where I can scream and holler and like every decision a manager I dislike, I'm going to just like just try to destroy him on X. I can't live my life that way. I try to be fair. So we could talk through this stuff, and I don't know what your opinion is on it because I was having a hard time getting connected on my end. But With Helsley, I thought maybe that would have been I think that would have been good because he threw 10 pitches and, you know, he had also not pitched for a while. I thought that was a time to push it. But I also understand, here I go trying to be fair, I also understand how Ollie Marmol and Ryan Helsley, in a successful attempt to keep him healthy, at least increase the odds of keeping him healthy, they try to avoid doing stuff like that. So do you do it on April the 9th? I think they could have, and I think maybe they should have, but I wasn't like, I didn't see any reason to foam at the mouth over that because I keep a big picture in mind. So, you know, you never know about a worst case scenario with a reliever. You just never know. Anybody's throwing 100 miles an hour, they're on borrowed time before something breaks. So if he would have sent him back out there today and all of a sudden Helsley's calling timeout and he's pointing to something and it's his elbow and he's gone for the year. There goes the trade, the chance to trade him. There goes whatever he can do for you. Is it really worth pushing it on April the 9th? There's a lot of games left. So yeah. The Fetty thing is stupid because the idea that he would have ever actually stayed in the game to go for a no-hitter is ludicrous. It just was never going to happen. There was like no scenario where that would have happened. So why go nuts over something that was never even a possibility? And the people that are saying, well, you could have put him out there for the seventh, and then that way you would have had more left in the bullpen. So what you're telling me is that Ollie Marmol in the bottom of the sixth inning after Fetty came out, he thought, well, geez, you know what? This game is actually going to go 13 innings today. Hey, it might even go 14 innings. I have a feeling. I can see it. I have a crystal ball. So I better try to get this extra inning out of Fetty. What manager in the history of baseball would have such an insane thoughts? This is just simply crazy. You can't foresee a game going 13 innings. And Ollie Marmol had his bullpen set up, you know, to handle not only the seventh, eighth, and ninth, but you know, even the 10th. I mean, he had plenty of bullpen until the game went so long. I just think the retroactively second guessed, that's pretty cheap stuff. It's just the people that do that just lose credibility because they're not even trying to be reasonable.
Yeah, on the Fetty, the only pushback I'd give you, Bernie, on the Fetty thing, again, I'm not up in arms about it at all. Like, I completely understand Ollie's decision-making process, and I think it is a very valid process that he did to make that decision. The only thing I would say on that is if the Cardinals are up in that situation, I'm really comfortable with Ollie going to his bullpen because he can set up for the 7th, 8th, 9th like you're in a winning situation. With the bullpen being overused as much as it's been lately and to be a tie situation, I think if I'm in Ollie's shoes right there, I probably do bring Fetty back out. It has absolutely nothing to do with the no-hitter. It has to do to preserve the bullpen a little bit in a game that you're not winning.
But after he left, the bullpen did a really good job.
I'm not arguing that at all.
You know, so I didn't see a reason to panic there. And the guy walked four hitters.
Yep.
And people say, well, it's four hitters. He only had 80 pitches. Dave Duncan taught me a lot about pitching. He says it's not the pitch count. It's like how much exertion and how much effort, like intense effort, had to go in to get those 80 pitches. It wasn't an easy thing today. When you're walking four guys, you're putting a strain on yourself. I mean, you're having to work extra harder. And that's a Dave Duncan principle. So if you're going to get mad at me, not you, but if people listening are mad at me for saying it, we'll get mad at Dave Duncan, the greatest pitching coach that ever lived, because he was a big believer in that. It's a long, long season, but they're going to need more innings in general from their starting pitchers because there is a connection, obviously, to the bullpen fatigue and their ineffectiveness. So, and they're going to have to get Roycroft out of here. I think everybody knows that. He needs time down in Memphis.
I wish I knew all the details on what on Helsley, because there was going to be a risk factor on either you're bringing Helsley out for a second inning, which I'm not running away from the fact that that is a risk, and it's something the Cardinals made him the best reliever in baseball, for sure the National League last year, through a system of mostly one inning outings, not a whole lot of back to back, certainly not a lot of threes, three in a rows. But there was also the risk factor of Steven Matz has never pitched back to back games in his entire career. So the Cardinals went into the risk factor of Matz on back to back, potentially over the risk factor of Helsley coming back out with 10 pitches. And that's one of those things that I'd love to be on the inside to know all the different factors that lead to that decision.
I think one of the factors is that Ryan Helsley was up and down a couple of times,
sure.
You know, like long before he actually entered the game. So Ali had him warming up at least twice and then finally, you know, warmed up a little bit before he entered the game. So maybe that factored into his mindset.
Did we lose Bernie? We lost Bernie. We'll see if we can get reconnected with him in here in just a moment. That's a great point that Bernie just made, by the way, and something that we did not talk about on the Redbird Rush Hour is how many times a guy gets up. When I was working in the Royals organization, and this was in the minor leagues, this wasn't in the big leagues, so this, you know, you can't apply standards and practices that happen in the minor leagues to the big leagues. I just say this to give you an example of what's going on. There was a policy that when a guy had been up three different times in a game, warm up three different times in a game, you couldn't get him up for a fourth time, and he was also down the next day as well. So that was that tells you a little something about what it can take out of you. So that was what the Royals did in the minor leagues. Three times up in a game, you couldn't get up a fourth time, and you couldn't pitch the next day. So that was a great point by Bernie on that part of it, which we didn't talk about during the Redbird Rush Hour. I think, Bernie, do we have you back?
Yeah, I got disconnected, which is okay. Technology is our friend and our enemy, correct?
It is, because you sound wonderful when you're connected. So that's the good part of it, right?
But I'm kind of hollering today. So, you know, it's one of those days. I guess that's fun for some people. But I always enjoy working with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, not to like bring you back on and then kick you right back off, but we're just kind of at the end. But before we let you go, though, Bernie, you got to tell us about everybody's friends over at Saliga Heating and Cooling.
No doubt about it. Saliga Heating and Cooling has been taking care of the Minklases for 16 years, and we love the work that they do. This proud independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer, it's all about service. It's all about trust. It's integrity. They're not going to try to upsell you. They're not going to try to hustle you. They're not trying to talk you into something you don't really need just to make a sale. They come into your home. They're classy. They explain their options to you. They explain everything about it. In our experience, and some of our neighbors' experience, you know, Saliga has actually said, no, you don't have to buy this or that. There's a short-term solution that'll work just great, and it won't cost you much money. So let's go with that. And then in a year from now, we can check again. And that's the other thing that's great about Saliga Heating and Cooling is they have that priority club where it's a maintenance program. And if you sign up for that, they'll come to your home twice a year to check all of your equipment. And that way it extends the life on your equipment, because if they catch a little problem, they make a couple of adjustments and they just the routine adjustments that go in a maintenance program. And then, you know, when they leave, you know, everything's working great and there's nothing to worry about. And that gives you peace of mind, but it also helps make your equipment last longer. So there's a lot of preventative maintenance. It can be a big deal. So I would encourage you to look into that and just go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com for the phone number and everything else. SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it.
Are you playing me off?
That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer, first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight? Aha! Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX as we continue on talking a lot of Cardinals baseball. Certainly a tough loss today. They'll be back at home coming up on Friday night. And if you're at the ballpark this weekend, I would encourage you to stop on by where you can pick up a copy of Cardinals Magazine, because once again, the amazing folks at Cardinals Magazine have put together a really, really good issue. The title story, or the cover story, I should say, is based off Wilson Contreras and his move over to first base. And to talk to us about that and also the entire magazine, happy to welcome in. He is a senior content producer with Cardinals Magazine. He is Mark Emmert. Mark, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Matt?
I am good. So the word on the street is you guys have been trying to do a story about Wilson Contreras for quite some time, but you got bogged down a little bit last year by some injuries.
Yeah, I was actually, I interviewed him a year ago in spring training. I got a nice sit down with him for a cover story we were working on for last May. And then right when we had it done, it was edited, everything was looking good. And that's when he had that freakish broken arm injury, basically on the eve of when we were going to publish that story. Honestly, I was in the press box going, oh no. And then we waited, of course, so he came back, and then he broke his finger, as you recall, getting hit by a pitch. So we waited again, and now it's a whole different story because he's changed positions. So we had to kind of start over, which is fine. And I'm happy with the results. I actually really, really like Wilson Contreras. I enjoy talking to him. I think he's got a really, really unique and interesting personality, and also, of course, a heck of a ball player.
What did he say that most interested you in terms of the work that he has done to go from being a catcher to being a first baseman?
Well, I think first of all, it was his attitude. Like he never really questioned the move. He told me that he was probably going to have to move at some point in his career anyway, just to kind of prolong it, as a lot of catchers are these days. In fact, he told me that he doesn't think catchers are going to be catching 140 plus games a year, the way Yadi did for all those years. So that's kind of a thing of the past. You've seen it with Salvador Perez moving over to first base at some for the Royals. So he kind of thought that this was coming anyway. In fact, he said he joked about it late last season with Pedro Páez. He said, "Don't be surprised next year if I come back as a first baseman." And that's exactly what happened. So he told me when they called him out and made that request, he didn't think twice, didn't hesitate. He didn't ask for a trade, didn't sulk about it. He was happy to move, and he's actually really enjoying the kind of the challenge there.
Yeah, and you reference it. Not only does he move positions, but he elects to stay with the Cardinals. And the expectations for this team coming into the season were not super high, and the team was open about the fact that they were willing to move some veterans if they requested to be traded. Did you talk much with him about that and just his desire to remain in St. Louis as a Cardinal?
Yeah, I mean, he likened it to a marriage. He said he signed a 5-year contract here, and to ask for a trade to him would feel like backing out of a marriage, basically. So he said he's here for the long haul. He thinks they can win here, certainly. He's won one before, as you know, in Chicago, so he knows what that's like. He likes the young team and the young energy. The thing he told me he hates the most is people that doubt his team. And he used an expletive there that I can't repeat. But he said, don't talk smack about my team. These are my guys, and I'm with them to the end. And so it's really kind of refreshing, honestly. You know, because he's right. He could have said, you know what, trade me to the Yankees or the Dodgers or whoever wants me, like everybody else seems to want to do. But he sees a future here. He actually really, really has a home here now in St. Louis. And I think he kind of feels like he's part of this community.
Is it at all weird for him that his brother and you, you mentioned William in this at one point, he kind of joked that he's going to have to be friendlier to guys because he's holding him on at first base. But is it at all weird for him as they, you know, they both came up as catchers and now he's not a catcher, but his brother still is?
I think that is a little bit strange because, you know, they work out together in the offseason in Orlando. And he told me two offseasons ago they spent all this time helping Wilson become a better framer. That was the one thing that the Cardinals asked of him, and he went to work hard on that. So I think they're used to kind of pushing each other in that position. And so now that he's the first baseman, of course, his brother has no reference there. They can still work on hitting, but the defense is completely different. So I do think that's a big adjustment for him. He's obviously proud of his younger brother, and I think he would even tell you that his younger brother has kind of surpassed him as a ball player right now. But he says he's fine with that.
Just kind of a sidebar, isn't it? Because he did a lot of work with Jose Oquendo. Isn't it amazing the impact that somebody like Oquendo continues to have on this organization, not just in helping guys become better at their craft, but sometimes helping guys change their craft completely?
Yeah, and that's a great point, Matt, because Jose is a guy that does not ever want to talk about it. So you don't see him in the media a lot. I've asked him to do interviews a couple different times on players, and he just politely declines. It's not really his style. But behind the scenes, if you talk to anybody in the organization, they always seem to bring up his name in terms of what impact he's had on their careers, especially anybody in the infield. And so, yeah, definitely Wilson leaned on him quite a bit. He said he went down to Jupiter two or three times a week this offseason to work with Jose. That's where Jose is based out of. And I really wish at some point Jose would maybe share some insight about how he does that and how he's so good at that. But for right now, he seems to want to keep all that a secret.
Yeah, he absolutely. When he was elected to the Cardinal Hall of Fame, I got a radio interview with him, and he still he didn't want to talk. Like he it almost felt like he was doing it out of obligation. So yeah. It was good to be able to talk to him. But you're right, like he is such an important part of the history of the Cardinals, and we rarely hear from him. But that's the way he likes it. You did a question and answer with Daniel Descalso and John Jay, and obviously those two guys came up together as players, and now they're on a coaching staff together, and that entire arc is kind of a cool story.
It really is. I didn't realize until I went in there. Of course, I had never spoken to John Jay before this year, and just how close those guys are. Like they're such good friends that their families go on vacation together in the winter. They'll go to Hawaii or Europe. They each have three young children now. They're fathers and parents of young children. I mean, boys and girls. But so they're locked in. They've lived together before. And they just think it's so cool to end up on the same staff. And, of course, obviously Daniel did give John Jay kind of a little nudge in that direction when John was let go by the Marlins last season. But they're just tickled to death to be there. And obviously two legendary Cardinals that fans really, really love.
Yeah, they do. I did a question and answer with those guys at the Cardinals winter warm up, which was
I saw that.
It was cool to be able to be around those guys. And you're right. I mean, there is genuine affection, and Daniel Descalso is probably going to be a big league manager at some point. John Jay is being given so much credit for what we're seeing, defensive improvements from Victor Scott II and from Jordan Walker. I mean, these are guys who are. It's not just a fun story about former Cardinals who are now coaches. These are guys who are having a major impact.
Right, and apparently that's kind of the way they were wired even as players. Like, they never really spoke about the fact that they might be coaches someday, but everybody that was around them kind of saw this coming. Like, they just see the game that way. They're very, very into the fundamentals and playing the game the right way and being good teammates. And so David Freese was down in Jupiter, as you know, for a week or so, and I spoke to him as well, and he said, you know, he's not really surprised to see his two friends kind of wind up where they wound up. Like, because he said even back in Memphis when they were playing, he could kind of see that these guys were a little more mature than your ordinary, you know, Triple-A ball player.
We're talking with Mark Emmert. He is a writer, senior content producer is the title, with Cardinals Magazine. The newest edition is available, so when you're at a Cardinals game, make sure to pick it up, or you can always get a subscription as well. We'll talk more about that in just a moment or so. Also wanted to mention a story that your colleague, Elizabeth Meineke, who has also been on this show, did, where she hung out with Pedro Pajas, Michael McGreevy, and Michael Ciani as they went out for a round of golf. And, you know, when you're in the Cardinals clubhouse, especially during spring training, you see those guys hanging around each other. They're guys who like to have a whole lot of fun, for sure, and that comes out in her story.
Yeah, it was a really fun story, and she kind of wanted to look for a kind of an entryway to get some of the personality about Michael McGreevy in front of fans, you know, just kind of what makes him tick and who he is as a player, because obviously he's going to be an important part of the future here. And a very delightful young man, first of all, but she found out that he's an avid golfer. Of course, he's from California, so that makes sense, right? And so she said, hey, how about if you pick the two guys you want to golf with? We'll take you out on the course, and we'll just kind of follow you around for 9 holes. And of course, the guys had a lot of fun, and he ended up picking Paez and Siani. And that was a really, really delightful group. And I think they talked some baseball, too, along the way. So I think if you read the story, you kind of get a really good sense of a little bit of Michael McGreevy's personality.
How nice is it to work for a publication? Like, journalism like that is going away in our world. And the storytelling that you guys do at Cardinals Magazine, it's fun, it's informative, it's unique. I got to think that this is a really good place to be able to work.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for that compliment. That's very nice of you. And yeah, I've been a newspaper reporter my whole career until I came here about 2 years ago. And definitely that was the appeal, because you're right. That kind of long-form journalism, that storytelling is kind of sadly going away in a lot of places as they have cutbacks. And here we feel like we do it right. We feel like we're giving fans a service that they can't get anywhere else for the most part. And we're very proud of that. So I hope that people kind of support that as well.
All right, people can pick up a copy of Cardinals Magazine if you are at the ballpark. Just go to where you pick up scorecards and that sort of thing, and you can purchase it. But Mark, if somebody wants to get a subscription to the magazine, what's the best way to go about that?
Yeah, they can go to cardinals.com/magazine, and all the information is there, and you'll actually get two free tickets to a baseball game this year if you're a new subscriber. So it's a really, really good deal. We'll mail them right to your house, or you can come get them at the stadium. So I hope people take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Pick up this copy. Again, Mark Immer joining us, senior content producer with Cardinals Magazine. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, that's Mark Immer. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
We are starting to wrap things up here in hour number one of the program. In hour number two, we will talk a little St. Louis Blues hockey. They are in action tonight, looking to get things going again. They match up against Edmonton on the road, so that's going to be a late night start tonight. 9 o'clock Central is when that game is going to have its puck drop. In front of that, Matthew DeFranks from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He's going to join us in about a half hour or so. About 7:35 is when he is going to get and join us, and we'll preview what's going on with the Blues tonight. Just overall, what's going on with them as they look to sew up a playoff spot sooner than later with just 3 games to go here in the regular season. I always say this on days of weekday games. We don't do like the long extended extra inning show. So I know a lot of people like being able to chime in on the Cardinals game post game. We hold that for Sports Open Line. So what we're going to do, I've pretty much blocked out the first half hour of the 7 o'clock hour. So through 7 o'clock to about 7:30 or so, we're going to give you an opportunity to call, text, tweet, leave a voice message, or leave a comment on our video stream if you have any comments on what happened in today's game. So we'll start that just after the 7 o'clock news. You can call or text at 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. I've already gotten a whole bunch of text messages about today's game, so we'll start reading through those. Again, we'll take phone calls. If you do want to leave a voice message, if you are listening via the Odyssey app, it's really easy. There's a microphone button right there where you're listening on the Odyssey app, and you can just leave a voice message, and it comes right into the studio, and then we can play it, and I can respond to it. So we'll have that coming up in just a little while. If you are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment. We've got some comments that have come in, so we'll respond to those, or you can just go old-fashioned way and tweet at me. Is that the old-fashioned? What's more old-fashioned, texting or tweeting? Probably texting is a little more old-fashioned, but you can just tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. And we've gotten some comments on there as we've gone along, so we will certainly read those. Kyle Sixta, who is our sports producer here at KMOX, he made this comment to me earlier, and I thought it was really interesting because we have disagreements sometimes on baseball stuff, like us here at KMOX, but I also think more often than not, we're pretty like-minded on some things. So I'm talking whether it's Bernie, whether it's Kevin, whether it's Tom, whether it's Kyle, we are very like-minded on things. And today is an interesting game because
we all have some like really different takes on this. Like I pushed back on Bernie a little bit when he was on earlier. There are some things that he believes that I would not completely agree with. If you were listening to Redbird Rush Hour, Kevin and I weren't completely on the same page. Kyle, I know you loved the fact that Eric Fetty came out when he came out today.
I thought it was a good decision. Third time through the order, I know you and Kevin had your disagreement with that in the Redbird Rush Hour. I don't know if it's taken out of context or what, but no matter what, these are major league hitters. Third time through a lineup, I just didn't like seeing Eric Fetty face the heart of their lineup a third time. I mean, the stats speak for themselves, kind of like you said in that 5 o'clock hour. It just felt like after those walks that he had to start every inning, it was just kind of asking for trouble. You had someone ready like Phil Maton, who hasn't given up a run this year at all. It just felt like the time to go to him.
And look, the Pirates have some legit dudes in the lineup. I know their numbers aren't great, but Brian Reynolds is a good baseball player. Andrew McCutchen's a good baseball player. Cabrian Hayes is a good baseball player. Joey Bart's a good baseball player. There's some pieces in that lineup that are, and some of those guys were due up in that inning.
Exactly. I think it was 3-4-5 in that seventh inning that Fetty would have had to go through, if I'm not mistaken. So, like you said, it's they're still major league hitters, you know.
Yeah. So if I'm Ollie in that spot, I probably bring Fetty back out for a seventh inning. My motivation for that is you've used your bullpen so much lately, even if Fetty gets into a little bit of trouble there and you have to go to the bullpen, if he gets one out, if he gets two outs, that's one or two outs that you don't have to put on your bullpen. The argument to that is tomorrow's an off day, so it really doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. But I think that you're kind of in the red zone right now in terms of not overusing your bullpen. So that would, again, for me, has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that there's a no-hitter going on. That doesn't play into the decision at all for me, other than the fact that Fetty's pitching well, but not specific to the no-hitter. We'll discuss all that after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we get into the 7 o'clock hour here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Talk a lot Cardinals baseball. We will talk some Blues hockey towards the end of the hour because, the Blues are playing some great hockey, and they are in action tonight. Matthew DeFranks is scheduled to join us at about 7:30 or so. But between then and now, this is when I open up to you. Because we did not have the full extra inning show today, so try to give you the opportunity to chime in and give us your thoughts on what's going on with the Cardinals. So the ways to get in contact, you can call in 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's also how you text, same number. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. Leave a voice message if you are listening on the Odyssey app, or you can leave a comment if you are watching on the video stream. Whether you're on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, wherever you're watching, leave a comment, and those comments come right into our little studio, online studio, where we kind of run the video from. So that's how you get in contact with the program. Let's start with Charlie. Charlie left us a voice message via the Odyssey app.
I fully admit that. But somewhere along the line, if you're pulling a pitcher after six innings and he's got a no-hitter going, baseball is lesser because of it. I like no-hitters. I like complete games. I talk about Bob Gibson's 255 complete games frequently. It's just something that baseball needs to treasure, needs to make part of everyday baseball games. It's just part of what baseball is and always has been about. Things like complete games. Complete games are great, but no-hitters, if he gives up the hit the next day or the next pitch, fine. But let the no-hitter play out. Again, I respect you for saying you don't know what was said to Ollie, but somewhere along the line, the trend, baseball is lesser because of it. Thanks.
Charlie, appreciate it. And well-reasoned thought process there from you. I fully understand, like, people who are like romantic about the way baseball used to be and then apply those standards to the way the game is played now. Nothing wrong with that. I get it. It's the game, and in many ways, I've talked about this a lot. In many ways, the game of baseball is not as aesthetically pleasing as it previously was. But I also always say it's not the job of a general manager or president of baseball operations or a team's field manager. It's not their job to make things look aesthetically pleasing. It's their job to win as many games as possible. So that's where we've gotten into this really weird place that the game is in right now where the data tells us, and I know people shake their heads at data sometimes, but the data tells us that you play the game a certain way and you're going to win more games by playing it that way. Now, baseball's tried to push back on that a little bit. There have been some rule changes that have certainly been put in. The overshift being taken away, that was one of them. That was done to provide a little bit more offense. So I would argue, and there's going to be people who argue against it, I would argue that a pitcher's health is more important than them trying to throw a no-hitter. And Eric Fetty was at 88 pitches today. So let's be clear. We've been the conversation we have largely been having about Eric Fetty hasn't been, should have he been left in there because he had a no-hitter going. It was, should have he been left in there for maybe another inning to just help with the lack of bullpen usage. This is a very different conversation. If we're going to sit here and have the conversation of, should he be left in there because there is a no-hitter going on, I'm going to tell you unequivocally, without a doubt, no, he should not have been. That you, whether you lift him after six innings at 88 pitches or you lift him after seven innings when he is approaching or maybe just past 100 pitches, the end of the line for Eric Fetty was going to be somewhere between it where it ended today and the seventh inning. He was not going to pitch in the eighth inning no matter what today, because the moment you send him back for the eighth inning and he's going to 105, 110, 115, 120 pitches, at that point, you are significantly risking injury, and you're also limiting his ability to be good the next time out. If you go look at guys, and this isn't true for everybody, there's exceptions to what I'm about to say, But generally speaking, if you've got a starting pitcher who really gets stretched, who's going well over 100 pitches, and then you look at what happens their next few starts, one of two things is going on, sometimes both. Either they are less effective or teams are being really, really cautious and careful on pitch count and they're taking the guys out really early. But that can affect somebody for multiple starts thereafter. So, no, I understand, Charlie, where you're coming from. And, like, the magic, the mystique of a no-hitter, which just doesn't really happen in today's baseball as often because of pitch counts. You see combined no-hitters sometimes, and you still see full no-hitters. Who threw the Greg Maddux? Was it Eovaldi? It was
Eovaldi,
okay,
yeah.
So Nathan, a Greg Maddux is a full, complete game under 100 pitches. You'll get one or two of those a year, it seems like. So those things still happen. They just don't happen as often. And, I don't love comparing the game today to what happened in the 60s or in the 70s. Like, and this is not, I'm not taking a shot at the way they played baseball then. Like, that's an amazing time. And so many people who are listening right now, that's where they learned to love Cardinals baseball. And you think about the legendary players. You mentioned Bob Gibson. This is not me taking anything away from what they did. I am 100% convinced that if Bob Gibson was pitching today, he would be an incredibly dominant pitcher. I would also argue he would be taking advantage of every single tool that is available now that wasn't available when he was pitching. And he might throw harder because of just how we understand biomechanics and things like that. So Bob Gibson pitching today probably would be better than Bob Gibson even in the 60s. I have no doubt that he would be a dominant Hall of Fame pitcher if he was pitching today at the same age that he was pitching before. So this is not me taking a shot at anything, but I'll say this, the game is different. And when you try to apply the standards of how a game was played many years ago and apply it to the way the game is played today, it doesn't always work. The game's different. And that doesn't mean the game is better. In many times, it means the game's worse. But the game is different. So I have no problem. I have no issue with Eric Fetty being taken out when he was throwing a no-hitter. We can argue whether or not he should come back out for a seventh inning just to try to help save the bullpen a little bit. That's a very valid thing. But asking him to go much further than that and push that pitch count to where it was, I mean, how would you feel about it if Eric Fetty comes back out for the eighth inning? Maybe he gives up a hit, maybe he doesn't give up a hit, but all of a sudden he starts grabbing his shoulder. All of a sudden his elbow goes out and you lose him for the rest of the year. It's not worth it. And is there any guarantee that that's going to happen? No, but it's risk calculation. That's what all this is. It's always risk calculation. If you decide to make a move that works 55% of the time but doesn't work 45% of the time, of course you're going to go for that move because it works more often than it doesn't, but there's still the risk of it not working because it doesn't work 45% of the time. It doesn't make it a bad decision. It's all part of the risk calculation. So there is a line that you don't want to cross with a pitcher when it comes to workload inside of a game where all of a sudden the risk of injury and or the risk of effectiveness moving forward or both of those things or even the risk of injury later down the line where all of a sudden that starts to grow exponentially. To me, that's not worth leaving a guy in to just chase a no-hitter. That's my take on that. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. If you're watching us, just leave a comment. We'll get to more of those coming up in just a moment as we roll on with the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. In about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Matthew DeFranks. We'll talk St. Louis Blues hockey with him. Still giving you an opportunity to talk Cardinals baseball, 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, if you can leave a message on our video chat if you'd like to as well. Eric has given us a call. Hey, Eric, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I just got home from a golf trip, and we were in Mississippi. And while we were in Mississippi, we were gambling there at a sports book. And Paul Skenes was pitching against the Cardinals, and all the guys were like, oh, we got to take the under. We got to take the under. Paul Skenes is pitching. And we're watching the game, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, it's the fifth inning, and Skenes is at 82 pitches, and they're down 4-1. And the Pirates didn't come out and pull Skenes out of the game. Now, it's 36 degrees in Pittsburgh that night. If you remember, all the Cardinal players were wrapped up in parkas like they were in Antarctica playing the game. So they got a little soft. But, you know, the Pirates got this world-class pitcher that's just a dominant pitcher. 98 pitches he threw that night. He was never in the game. He never had a chance, really, to win the game. And your comparison of, well, you know, we got to protect our investments and we don't want to hurt, you know, Fetty in a young early season. You don't want him throwing too many pitches. I think you're protecting the move, Matt, to be honest with you. I think it was another poor move, just like when they went out and talked to Sonny Gray a few games back and asked him how he was feeling and how he runs off the field and what happened. So I disagree with your theory about, you know, taking them out and pitchers don't throw nine innings anymore. It's the percentages that you're using. It's all based on the flow of the game, the feel of the game. You just can't look at a computer and say, we need to pull them.
I think when you use the Skenes comparison, it's a little bit flawed because, as you said, he is this elite pitcher. Like that Paul Skenes, he's a unicorn. Like, that doesn't exist. So he's somebody that he's big, he's strong, he's built, he is ready to be one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. It's the same conversation. If Nolan Ryan was pitching in today's game, well, then he's going to go out and throw over 100 pitches every single time because he's Nolan freaking Ryan. This guy is Paul freaking Skenes. There's not a lot of guys out there. So that's the only thing I would push back with you on.
And the cold weather, and he's down in the game, they're losing. He's not throwing a no-hitter. They left him in, though, because...
Yeah, because Paul Skenes. Because Paul Skenes. Appreciate the phone call. Like, that's who he is. And there's not many guys like that. Go show me a guy that has a 4.5 ERA that does that. Like, that's something that a super elite dude has. The Cardinals don't have one of those guys. Sonny Gray is the best that the Cardinals have. And I know people will be critical of him about his lack of innings pitched and his lack of pitches thrown in a game. This isn't new. This isn't a Cardinals thing. This is who Sonny Gray always is. He came in third place in the American League Cy Young Award voting doing the exact same stuff that he does now. Paul Skenes is Paul Skenes. And he walked in better than basically everybody else. That's why he goes out and throws 90 plus pitches every single time out, because his body is different than everybody else's body. And that's just what it is. So I understand the point you're making. It's a legitimate thing to look at, but my counterpoint would be, tell me just like a normal dude that does that, because Paul Skenes, you can't compare Paul Skenes to other guys in baseball. The Real Third Man sends in a message on our video stream, says, minus Victor Scott II, the Cardinals have 5 stolen base attempts in 12 games. One's on a pickoff. Are these the running Redbirds we were promised? No, they're not. And they need to be. Now, that being said, they've been a really good offensive club. So that hasn't been top of mind, because when you're getting bunts of hits and you're getting a bunch of base runners, then you don't need that. But I would definitely like the Cardinals to push the issue a little bit more, putting runners in motion. And it felt like that was one of the talking points during spring training, and it hasn't happened. Your numbers are spot on. Like, Victor Scott II is a threat to steal. They don't really have other threats to steal. Now, Mason Wynn had a slow start to the season. You're kind of stuck with Wynn being in that 9 spot. You've got really good hitters coming up behind him. Wynn's a good, not great base stealer, so you don't want to lose him when you've got – like Newt Barr and Contreras at the plate. But yeah, you would like to see some more motion on the bases. Text message from 217 says, there's going to be a lot of worn out bullpen pitchers if starters can't go more than 6 innings or 80 pitches. What about their arms? You're right. You're 100% right. At some point, starters have to start going deeper into games. I give the Cardinals a little bit of a pass right now because of how early on in the season, but if the same things are happening and we're having the exact same conversations 2-3 weeks from now, then it becomes a little bit different. Pitching injuries are more prevalent at the beginning of the season, and I think the Cardinals are being really, really cautious about that. But you do also have to be cautious about bullpen arms at the same time. You want to protect starters over bullpen arms. Generally speaking, they are more valuable, but that doesn't mean that you ignore it. And the Cardinals, when they decided they were going to go to a six-man rotation, and they haven't gone to it yet, but essentially they're in a six-man rotation because of all the off days, you have to get more length out of your starters at some point in time. 618 says, is it time to bench Contreras? No, it's not. I have no doubt he's going to be fine. I don't know how long it's going to take. He's going to be fine. And, he's going to be fine at some point. He's Wilson Contreras. He's your best hitter on the team, even if he's not showing it right now. Luckily, not like today, notwithstanding, where you only score one run in 13 innings. But generally speaking, it hasn't hurt you that much that he has had a slow start to the season. It definitely did hurt you today because he had many opportunities to drive in some big runs. He left three runners on base personally today. Lars Nootbaar left three on. Pedro Pajes left three. Victor Scott left three. But he also, I'm not to that point yet with Contreras that I'm thinking, well, there's got to be somebody else in there. It is frustrating, though. A year after you were relying so much on Arenado and Goldschmidt, those guys didn't perform. Now this year you go into the year with Contreras being the guy, and he's not performing so much right now, and that's got to change. When we come back, we'll talk St. Louis Blues hockey. Matthew DeFranks is going to join us in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, continuing to take you through the evening. The St. Louis Blues, they are back at it as they match up against the Oilers coming up tonight. They lost for the first time in a long time, their last time out, falling to a really good Winnipeg team by a 3-1 score. Very happy right now to welcome on to the show. He is the beat writer covering the Blues for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He is Matthew DeFranks. You follow him on Twitter at MDeFranks. Matthew, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, the team goes on that long winning streak, and again, I know you're covering the team. I know you're not a fan. I'm not asking you this question in that way, but just watching that and something as special as that, how enjoyable is it to be able to see that and cover that and experience that on a daily basis, as you were covering the team?
Yeah, it's still pretty cool because. Yeah, you know, you're not looking at it as a fan, but you are looking at it from an interest level and kind of a pleasantness level. Mm-hmm. Is that a word?
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone is having a good time. Everyone's in a good mood. More people are interested. More people are reading coverage. It's a good thing for business. And it was a bit of a challenging thing for me to try to come up with different storylines every day when every day they just show up, they play well, and they win hockey games. Like, that's what they did for a solid 2 or 3 weeks. And it was fun to see kind of the things that were, you know, maybe some quirks early on. You know, when we think about Joe Boo or the staring into the television camera, like, they suddenly became things as long as the win streak kept going on. So the fact that that kind of got some life behind it. You saw more and more resiliency as they kept playing. Some of the things that started out small just continued to get bigger throughout the streak, and it was fun to kind of sit back and witness that.
How did that happen, just in the sense of who they were really before the Four Nations and who they were after? It seems like they were a very, very different team.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think we talked right around the trade deadline when the team was out in California, and looking back at that time, I thought that they were playing decent hockey, but they weren't playing to the standard that they put forth during the streak. There were some fortunate games where maybe they didn't play the best, but they weren't playing against a top team. They were getting some timely saves, and so you're able to squeak out some wins that way. But there was, I think especially during the first half of the streak, when they were just beating everyone by three goals, basically. You know, they're in the first seven games, they outscored the opponents 34-10. And that's not just skating by and getting by with some lucky games. And, you know, the last five games that they did play, there were one goal wins in that streak. So you can kind of look at that and say every now and then those will flip the other way. But those first seven games, I think in particular, everything was going right. You know, all four lines were playing well. The penalty kill had finally turned around from what it looked like earlier in the season when they were on pace to be the worst PK in Blues history. And so that's kind of turned around a little bit. The goaltending has been a lot more consistent on a nightly basis where they show up and you have a good idea that either Joel Hofer or Jordan Binnington is going to give you a chance to win that game. And then everything else. I mean, Robert Thomas has been one of the best players, if not the best player in the league since the break. And they've gotten contributions from different guys at different points. When Pavel Buchnevich has come back from his injury, he's been good. Jake Neighbors has had some spells of productivity. Jordan Kyrou's been there. Even on defense, when you look at a guy like Cam Fowler, they've had contributions from a lot of different guys. So that even when there is a downswing somewhere else in the lineup, there's other people to help pick up that slack.
I'm glad you bring up Robert Thomas because you're right. I mean, you look at his numbers and that he is, if not the best, one of the handful of best really since the Four Nations. Is not that it really matters, but is he getting the credit that he deserves right now from maybe national hockey folks on just how well he is playing right now?
I mean, it's tough for me to say, but I don't see a lot of chatter about him. Honestly, I think last year he was having a really good season until the Blues kind of faded away. He went through a little slump and they faded from the playoff race. And so last year when he was off to a really hot start, there was a little bit of conversation, locally at least, about him being a Selke Trophy candidate and the fact that he was being a number one center for the first time in his career. He's taking on top matchups. He was playing a lot on the penalty kill, and he was excelling and putting up points on the offensive side. You know, that 200-foot rounds game that he played was being recognized at least a little bit. And I think this year you'd probably see him be talked a little bit more about for, you know, some of these postseason regular season awards. If he hadn't missed those 12 games because of a fractured ankle earlier in the season, I think you look at his numbers overall, and that would put him around 93 points for the season, which would be an improvement on the 86 he had last year, would be about halfway to getting him to that 100-point mark that, you know, hasn't been done in quite some time for the Blues. So he's had a good overall season, and I think he had to miss that time. If he had maybe some better analytics defensively, he would be talked about more in that Selke conversation potentially. But that just hasn't materialized this year, and it's one of those awards that maybe you have to be talked about for a little bit of time before you actually break through and become a finalist or become a winner. I mean, it happens with pretty much everyone who ends up winning that award. Even Alexander Barkov right now, he went through a few years where he had to be talked about as a candidate first and then was finalist and then finally, you know, earned enough reputation points to move up into the solidly a contender category. And then Robert Thomas is kind of just starting that path now.
We're talking with Matthew DeFranks. He covers the Blues for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. What have you thought about Jimmy Snuggerud as he acclimates to the professional game?
I think his game's been good. Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of times where you watch him play and you think he looks out of place. He doesn't look like he belongs in the NHL with the speed or the physicality. I think that first game against Detroit, there was a little bit of that. You know, you saw him get out muscled at times. Vladimir Tarasenko buried him into the boards in front of the benches. And you're like, oh, welcome to the NHL. And that's your first game. And, you know, since then, he hasn't really looked, you know, all that out of place. He had that really nice assist in the second game to Jake Neighbors on the rush, made some plays against the Avalanche where it looked like he had a few chances to score his first career goal. He obviously set up Pavel Buchnevich with a nice pass from the corner to the net front. And after the game, Buchnevich was speaking and he says Yeah, I mean, that guy is a player. Like he's a player, as in he's not just a scorer. He's just a hockey player. He wants to go out there and he wants to play hockey, and he'll do the things, whether it's, you know, trying to get in on the forecheck, winning a battle to set up a teammate. Those are the things that we saw early on, and that's been encouraging for the Blues to see. For a guy who really, for a lot of time, has been viewed as a sniper, and he is still a goal scorer. That's what he is at his core. But I think this last year in Minnesota kind of helped him develop more in the areas that he wanted to, and where he felt that he could do it best in college versus in the NHL or the AHL. And I think he wanted another shot at the national championship, and he developed more. And now suddenly he's become important might be a stretch, but he's definitely a part of what the Blues are trying to do in the tail end of the season heading into the playoffs.
And on the second line right now, because of the injury to Dylan Holloway, and this team has dealt with injuries. I mean, Colton Parayko went down and they didn't miss a beat, but how impactful can this Holloway injury be, especially if it kind of stretches out? Because you'll know more than I do, but it doesn't feel like we have a real clear idea of when we'll see Holloway back on the ice.
Yeah, we're kind of into that playoff mode with injuries right now, where if a team has the information, they're not going to be saying exactly when. I mean, all we know, he's week to week. It didn't sound like I would be absolutely floored and stunned if he's even considered for these last three games of the regular season. I think we're looking at the playoffs in the first round and saying, what's his recovery like? How's he skating? Is he skating? What does it look like in that first round? And when would he be able to be back at that point? I don't know. And then, you know, as far as the impact goes, he was one of the team's best players consistently. Like, these were the first games he missed all year. He was, if I remember correctly, second on the team in goals and second on the team in assists and third in points. So he's a guy that was able to produce a lot, but it was more than that. It was the work ethic that he kind of drags out of guys, both in practice and in games. So after practice, he's one of the guys that stays out for 45 minutes. And that happened to pull in Jordan Kyrou, and the two of them work on a lot of things together after practice. In games, you know, Holloway, sometimes I'll look down at the stat sheet and see him leading the team in hits and shots on goal. And that's because he gets in on the forecheck. He'll grind on breakouts, and he'll try to disrupt those and get a forecheck going. So he's led in different ways for the Blues, whether that's just with his habits or with his production. And he's definitely been missed these last couple of games.
Last thing for you, we're talking with Matthew DeFranks from the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. I mentioned Colton Parayko. Do you get a sense on if there's much of a chance that we could see him early on in the playoffs, or might it take a bit of a playoff run for the Blues for him to be back out on the ice?
Yeah, for him, I think things are a lot more optimistic. He's been skating with the team for a little bit of time now. He was with them on their last trip to Nashville and Colorado. I believe he's currently with them right now in Canada, and he's been skating for a little bit of time. He's about 5 weeks into the 6 week timeline that they gave around the trade deadline. So he's pretty close to being back. I don't know when exactly that's going to be, but I think he's sort of the opposite in my mind of Holloway, that I would be stunned if he's not playing game one of the playoffs. And it's one of those wait and see things for the rest of the regular season.
Matthew DeFranks does a fantastic job. You should be reading him in the Post-Dispatch, also at STL Today. You can follow him on Twitter at @mdefranks. Matthew, thank you so much for taking some time, and look forward to catching up with you again down the line.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
That's Matthew DeFranks joining us here on the program. Again, he does a fantastic job covering the Blues, and the Blues are in action later on tonight, late night tonight, as they are in Edmonton and they are matched up against the Oilers. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the program. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Another full 2-hour program. We've got a lot that's going to be coming up on the show tomorrow. Thanks to all my guests on the program today. Bernie Miklas joining us at 6:20. We had Mark Emmert from Cardinals Magazine at 6:35. And then we were just joined by Matthew DeFranks a few moments ago talking Blues hockey. Again, the Blues, they are in action tonight as they match up against Edmonton. I kind of like pump the brakes before I say what I'm about to say because I think the Blues are in a really, really good spot right now. I'm not worried about the loss against Winnipeg. Did they play well in that game? No, but they didn't play well for like the first time in a really long time, and they've got some key injuries and things like that. I do think there is value in making sure that you still have some momentum going into the playoffs. I say that as the guy who tells you all the time when it comes to baseball that there's actually no correlation between playing well at the end of the season and going into the playoffs. Like, statistical analysis have been run that you can have a hot start to a hot end of the season and you can do well or do poorly in the playoffs, or you can have a cold finish to the season and you could do well or you could do poorly. Like, it's almost like a coin flip each time. I've never seen that type of analysis done on hockey, on whether or not you take momentum out of the regular season and the postseason. I feel like it would mean more. Like, there's some sports where I don't think momentum is a big thing in baseball. I just don't. You know, the old cliche is, you know, momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. I just think baseball is a sport where there is some level of momentum. There is some level of being a hot team. Like, I'm not completely poo-pooing that idea, but just the idea that you take momentum from one game into the next, I don't know. A team is playing well and that they can continue that on. I think there's a difference between that and momentum, what the actual difference is. It's where we get into semantics at that point. But I would, for whatever reason, and maybe it's just because I've never seen statistical analysis done when it comes to basketball, hockey, football, I feel like in those sports, more so than baseball, there is something more to playing well at the end of the season and then taking that into the postseason. And I could be completely off base on that. If you've ever seen any type of like analysis done on that, feel free to like tweet at me the link to it. I'd be interested to read it, whether it's hockey or basketball, football, whatever it might be, at Matt Pauly on air, MattPauley on air. But the point is, the Blue, a lot of times you see it in sports, not just hockey, in all sports, a team goes on a really, really long winning streak, and then they lose for the first time, and what happens? The losses stack up for a little while. Like, you have that letdown of that first loss, and then it takes a little while to lock back in. Well, this is not the time for it to take a little while for it to lock back in, because there's 3 games left in the regular season. Nothing has been completely cemented quite yet. Like, I'm talking like the playoffs are of just a for sure thing, and it seems very likely that the Blues are a playoff team, but there's still some teams that are going to try to, you know, make something crazy happen. So the Blues would be smart to just put Winnipeg behind them, play well tonight against Edmonton, play well on Saturday against Seattle, play well next Tuesday at home against Utah, and get into the postseason playing some pretty good hockey. This is going to sound like myself patting myself on the back. It's not, even if it sounds that way. But I just want to mention this real quick, because for those of you, maybe you are a Sports Open Line listener on like podcast form, and you're not listening to the radio station a lot or anything like that, and you haven't taken in a lot of the other new stuff that we are doing. So for those of you who, you might have no clue. If you listen to this show via podcast, and we thank you for doing that, when we hopped over to FM, we're still available at 11:20 a.m., but when we hopped over to FM, we added some more Cardinals programming to what we're doing. The Gas House Gang, which myself and Kevin Wheeler used to be a bigger part of when it was just a web-only show, that's now on 12 to 1 on the radio with Chris Ranji, Tom Ackerman. Sometimes Mike Claiborne is there. Sometimes John Rooney is there. I hop on for a little bit on Fridays, but really it's Ranj and Ackerman are kind of the main two hosts on that one. Kevin Wheeler and I do the Redbird Rush Hour now during the 5 o'clock hour. And It's kind of a weird hour. Like from a formatting standpoint, it's kind of weird because it's the 5 o'clock hour. That's PM drive. That's when people are tuned in. They still want to hear news, which you can get at the top and the bottom of the hour. You still want to hear traffic reports because you're trying to get home from work. And that's so the hour flows a little bit differently than like our midday hours. Like if you're listening to Gas House Gang, Chris and Amy, Dave Glover show, things like that. And we're still getting used to it, but I got done today, and again, this is where it's going to sound like I am patting myself on the back, and it's really not that. I got done today with Redbird Rush Hour with Kevin, and I thought to myself, that was an awesome hour of talking baseball in like an intelligent way. Like there's today's, as we've talked about on this show, today's game had so many things that happened. And some of the things helped lead to the team losing. Some of the things were just kind of weird to look at, but maybe didn't have the impact that some people want to say they had. Again, a lot of the decisions that are made, we don't know all the details and all the context behind those decisions to be able to answer all the questions on why those decisions were made. But I love the conversation that Kevin and I have always had about baseball. And you've heard it on this show. Like we've done the Friday conversations more often than not when Kevin and I talk for 15, 20 minutes about baseball. But just what we've done on Redbird Rush Hour, having, you know, 5 or 6 like really targeted type segments when it goes about things. I would encourage you to listen. The Redbird Rush Hour show is a podcast. It's going to get its own podcast feed at some point in the near future. But right now it's just available on the Cardinal Conversation. So if you're on the Odyssey app or if you're on KMOX.com or wherever you get podcasts, if you do a search for Cardinals Conversations, you can find it. I think you'll enjoy it. If you're a big Cardinals fan, if you're a casual Cardinals fan and you want to kind of get more in the weeds in baseball, but we don't go like too deep in that, but we certainly, you know, break down decisions that are made and all the decisions on why, well, you know, all the things that kind of lead into that, I would encourage you to listen. I really enjoyed the show today. I enjoy the show a lot. It's brand new, so hopefully you're tuned in. For those of you who are watching the show via video, you're able to always watch it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. You can go back and find those archives, especially at KMOX Sports on YouTube. That is a great, every video is archived that we do, whether it's Sports Open Line, whether it's Redbird Rush Hour, Gas House Gang, the Extra Inning Show. So that's, you know, we do a reaction to the game after every single game. Maybe that's a little bit late for you. It's 11:30 at night. You're ready to go to bed, but you've got a lot of thoughts about the way things went down. We always break down the game after that. So you can find all of that if you just head to the KMOX Sports YouTube page at KMOX Sports. Would encourage you to follow it, like to subscribe. That way, when we go live, you can be there right with us. And it's been fun to do all that. So again, that is a it's a plug, right? It's a shameless plug. Was it shameless? I guess it was a little bit shameless, but I certainly enjoyed what we had today, and I hope you take the opportunity to listen in or watch in, whatever it might be, whenever you get the opportunity to do so. That is it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Again, we're back tomorrow. No Cardinals baseball tomorrow, so we've got the standard show, Redbird Rush Hour 5 to 6, Sports Open Line 6 to 8. Thanks to all of my guests who are on today, and look forward to talking to you again tomorrow right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.